following program was pre-recorded. To ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Welcome to New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. Since 1988, we've offered compassionate responses that combine God's truth with proven psychological principles to guide you toward healing. Our phone lines are open. Call us now at 1-800-229-3000.
We are so happy you're here. I'm Brian Perez, and this is New Life Live. We're here to help you walk through real pain through real healing. Eating disorders, trauma, you name it, we can help you. Dr. Jim Burns, the founder of Homeward, is here today. So is clinical psychologist Dr. Alice Benton, who's got something on her mind to start us off.
Brian and Jim, I'm thinking about the thousand-pound stories that we don't want to tell about our past and maybe don't even want to think about. Mm. But those untold stories are what weigh us down, keep us stuck, and can even keep us sick. And God's antidote to that is unfair forgiveness. Mm. So a woman named Jane told me, "I can't forgive my own sexual promiscuity and the three abortions I had as a young woman. I was such a wicked girl, even though I knew God and I knew his ways." Jane beat herself up in her head. She rarely talked about these stories, hardly ever. And yet the stories replayed in her own mind unbidden. And she just felt horrible about herself. What a bad Christian she was. She was a mild-mannered woman, very composed. She really looked like she had it all put together. So you would never guess from the outside what agony she lived with on the inside. She could not forgive herself. And part of the process of moving towards forgiveness is developing understanding, which can lead to compassion. There are reasons behind all of our unhealthy behavior, and usually we're trying to cope with difficult circumstances. Jane's mom left their family when she was young for another man and never came back. Her dad was a great provider financially, but he was angry, lonely, and totally overwhelmed being a single father raising a young daughter. He turned to porn and to alcohol. And he didn't hide any of that from Jane. So she was exposed to things at a very early age that she never should have seen or experienced. Her dad regularly told her she was a wicked girl when she didn't live up to his standards of perfectionism. So she already took that belief inside of her. So when boys at high school started to pay attention to her, tell her she was beautiful, she finally felt valued by them. And she began to develop a sense of compassion for herself of, wow, could I have been so sexually active at such a young age? Well, no wonder. It was one of the few places I felt love because none of the adults around me knew how to love me well. But how could I have had those abortions? Well, her father pressured her to. Her mother didn't give any advice at all, and the boyfriends pressured her to. She didn't feel like she had another option. She began to develop compassion and understanding for herself, which led to the ability to forgive. And then we had to work on forgiveness for her father, which is so unfair. Forgiveness for her mom, both people who abandoned and mistreated her. But as we looked at their family history, they suffered abandonment. Their parents were ignorant. They had not learned how to love well. If you have thousand-pound stories that you can't tell and you don't even want to think about, God's inviting you into a process of moving towards forgiveness by developing understanding for yourself and your perpetrators, even if they were your parents. Because when we can have compassion for ourselves and other people, we can get to forgiveness, which sets us free from justified bitterness and resentment.
Yeah. Dr. Jim?
I felt like we were just at church. That was really good. And yet, our Heavenly Father loves us not for what we do, but for who we are. Yeah. And somehow we have to learn that, even in the midst when we've had a father or mother or somebody who wasn't loving to us, our God loves us anyway.
Yeah. No. We are here for people just like Jane.
Yes.
Is that her name? Yeah. And it's what we do here at New Life Live. You can find out all about us at newlife.com. Call in when we're doing a show. In fact, we've got some calls coming up.
I went to Every Man's Battle in 2012. My sexual integrity was not what it should have been. I sought out affairs, whether physical or emotional. Until I came to Every Man's Battle, I didn't understand that would never fill that void.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, affairs, pornography.
The shame and guilt was overwhelming.
For over 20 years, New Life Ministries has been helping men regain their integrity through their one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive.
You will discover what the true root of your pain is, and you will discover how to overcome.
You don't have to struggle any longer. Get help in Washington, D.C., April 24th through the 26th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Use the discount code NLL to save $50.
Every man's battle saved my life.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
And our first call of the day, Deborah from Philadelphia, who's watching us on YouTube. So we'll wave hi to Deborah. Thanks for calling into New Life Live. Deborah, how can we help you today?
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask you about unforgiveness because... In the Bible, it just says talks about the brethren. It doesn't say unbelievers. It just says you're supposed to forgive your brethren. So I wanted to ask that first. I mean, is forgiveness a broad spectrum type of thing, or is it just for church? People in the church.
I was going to follow up with you, Deborah, and ask you why you're asking this question, but she said, let's get that question out of the way first. So let's answer that question for Deborah, and then we'll dig deeper as to why she's asking this. Jim, what would you say?
Well, I think forgiveness is for everybody, Deborah. I think God's forgiveness is for people. Sometimes people don't, live under that banner, and that's their choice. But, I think God is willing to forgive, and I think we have to be willing to forgive. I think it's very important that I have a lot of people around me who aren't Christians and don't believe the way I do, but I need to show them love and forgiveness, and I think that's how Jesus would do it. Jesus showed forgiveness to people who weren't necessarily believers when you start looking at the woman who was caught in the midst of adultery, or when you look at, there's story after story, a woman from Samaria, on and on. So I think we do have a biblical precedent to be people who forgive. And I think that's one of the biggest differences for Christians and non-Christians, is that we're gonna forgive because that's what God tells us to do. And he's going to give us the strength to do that.
Alice?
I respect your very close reading of the word, that you really want to understand what is God guiding us to do. And there are things that he asks us to reserve for brethren in particular.
Yeah.
And some of it is evaluating one another, calling one another out when we see sinful behavior. That is reserved for believers. But I think, Deborah, about Jesus being on the cross and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think he was talking about all the sinners that surrounded him, both believers and non-believers alike. Mm-hmm. So how does our answer affect you?
Well, I think that the Lord has been dealing with me. I was saved at a very young age because my aunt Elma and my aunt Stella were spinsters, and they devoted their whole life to the Lord. And they brought me to the Lord at like 6 or 7 years of age, but I didn't fully understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did this because by the time I was 7, my father died of a brain tumor at 40. My sister got killed at 13, and my mother had a nervous breakdown. So they did not trust my mother. They thought she was a negligent parent. So my aunts were very concerned about me, and they didn't know what was going to happen to me either. So my sister and this boy, they both died from playing chicken with the Long Island Railroad. My mother, she put a wall up with me, and I asked her why she was not warm and fuzzy, you know, like my girlfriend's parents. They would give me big bear hugs, you know, especially this one girl I got close with, Italian family, and she said I couldn't. That was for self-preservation. I said, oh, okay. So I was always looking for it with men, with anybody.
So are you struggling to forgive your mom? Is that the reason for your phone call?
I'm struggling to forgive myself. I've done a lot of bad things. I think I'm a bad person. But I think we're all bad because, you know, the apostles said to Christ, good master, and he said, why do you call me good? None of us are good except the Father, which is in heaven. So, yeah.
Deborah, I hear that you don't think you're good. And I want you to know, as I was driving to radio today, I asked God, what do you want me to talk about in my couple minutes at the opening of the show? And it ended up being your story that developed in my mind in many ways. Jane's story is your story to some extent. And just like she couldn't forgive herself because she was so wicked, she couldn't believe what she had done. You have some similarities there. You're condemning yourself for things that you're perhaps ashamed of, you regret doing.
Yes.
Would you be willing to give us the headline of one of those things you struggle to forgive yourself for?
Two abortions. I was 17 with my first one. And after my son was born, I had another one at 2 weeks. And I made sure it was at 2 weeks, you know. And then I wasn't a very good daughter. When I had my children, I developed an alcoholic problem. And I can't make any excuses, and I won't, because I was just selfish. And I wanted to have fun. And I wanted to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And my whole life has been, wait a minute, Lord, let me go for a minute. I'll be right back. Mm-hmm. And then I'd see him walk, just visioning it. I'd see him walking a couple yards, and then or maybe 80, 100, maybe 500 feet, whatever. And then I'd run to catch him again.
So Deborah, I'm going to stand in agreement with you that you have made selfish decisions. So I won't whitewash that. Okay, I agree with you. You and I were both a couple of sinners, and we knew better, and we made bad choices anyhow. So, yes, there's some selfishness in your life. And my goodness, when we hear your story of losing, really, your entire immediate family, your mom was physically there, but she was emotionally gone. Yeah. These deaths so early in your life. And I want you to remember that part of Jane's story was understanding that her poor decisions, her three abortions, she was trying to cope with her life being out of control and not having the leadership and the safety in her home that she needed. You got some from your aunts, and I'm glad you had them, but you did not have safety and stability in your home. And I don't say that to excuse the poor choices you've made. I say it because you, Deborah, need to have compassion for that younger you that made those decisions and now regrets them. And I suspect, Deborah, that you struggle to accept God's forgiveness of you. Is that true?
I do. Yeah, I do.
He tells us that he removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He washes us as clean as snow. But Deborah, you're not alone in not being able to receive that into your heart. And we usually internalize that forgiveness when we can get it from other women around us who really know the nitty-gritty details of our story, and they're willing to forgive us. And they're willing to say, hey, I've made some of those same mistakes myself, and I forgive you, and I love you anyhow. How
but
do you
feel? He doesn't forget. And also, you know, things were taken from David after what he did with Bathsheba, and how Nathan came to him and told him and rebuked him about that. And and how he, the first child, was dead, you know, born dead. Mm-hmm. And God will take things from you because I'm a devoted Christian, and I don't want you to take this wrong, but I also believe that he's a consuming fire, as he says, and he is a very, very strict father. And that...
Deborah, you're right that there are consequences and there is wreckage, yeah, and we do have to right. face that. There really isn't any way of getting around that. But I hear even in your reaction to me, I think it's difficult for you to receive love and empathy. I don't think you got much of it when you were a kid. And so I ask you to let us connect you with a group of sisters with whom you can feel and practice soaking in love and grace and empathy. I think God gave me Jane's story to give to you because he wants to call you in for comfort.
Yeah. Jim, any other words?
Deborah, I think you're right. There are consequences sometimes to our choices. However, I want you to hear this really clearly. You know, Jesus looks at you and he knows all about you. He knows those abortions. He knows the talking back. He knows the string that you said was going to be for a minute and lasted a lot longer. And he knows your closet. And nobody else knows your closet. But I want you to know that he says, I know all that stuff. And I have a word for you. And it's from the Bible. And it says, you're the apple of my eye. And I honestly believe that you're not at this point able to accept his beautiful words to you. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Yeah, he has harsh words, and especially in the Old Testament, you see some of that, and you're talking about that. But there was a dynasty built, and part of the from David, and part of the dynasty is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So God, even in the midst of David's brokenness and poor choices, he still used the line of David to bring our Lord to this earth, his son, his only begotten son. And so know that he looks at your closet, and he doesn't condemn you. He, in fact, said to a woman who had really made some poor choices, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. So I think what you do with the rest of your life is what's so key. It's not what's your past. Your past has hardships, and there are reasons for those hardships, and you've got to work through those. If you continue to, only deal with those, you won't heal, and when you don't heal, you will repeat. But know that his love is much greater than any of that. And I know none of us deserve it. But he says, you're the apple of my eye. Mm.
We have a tip sheet that I just found out about last week. So we're going to send it to you, Deborah. It's called 5 Steps to Radical Acceptance. Mm. That's what you need because you feel condemned. You're just focusing on God, the consuming fire, who wants to just cast judgment for everything you've done in your past. But he's reaching out to you. You are a believer. We believe that. But it's just this. Sometimes it's harder to forgive ourselves than for God to forgive us. I mean, to realize that. So we're praying for you also, Deborah. Stay on the line. We'll send you this tip sheet. We'll also put it in the show notes there. You can get information about it. And we strongly encourage you, Deborah, and everyone else who needs it, to sign up for the Take Your Life Back course that begins the first week of May here from New Life. It's a 12-week course, 1 hour a week, and you can find out about it at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Denise in Bismarck, North Dakota, listening on KNDR. You are next on New Life Live. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How can we help you today?
Okay. It's dealing with my daughter. She's like 35 years old. About a year and a half ago, she had said that I had been a bad mom, that she wanted time, and that she would let me know when she's ready to deal with it. Well, there's been lots of stuff with family and everything, and like this weekend, I had left town. A sister had made a blanket for her baby, brought it back, texted her, how do you want to get it? She also sent treats for 2 older kids. The daughter just will not communicate at all. She's had struggles forever. When I was 7 months pregnant, I had a brother commit suicide. And then when I'd cry, she would go wild in the womb, so I had to kind of shut down. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys have talked about something about neuro, But anyway, it was a struggle with her in school growing up. Like, she had been a really outgoing kid and stuff, but she would, like, one day the teacher said, okay, everybody can go out to recess, but not her, because she'd been kicking her shoes on and off under the desk.
Mm-hmm.
She later, oh, that music.
Yes, yes, she's a longtime listener, you can tell. She hears the music and she says, oh, it's time for the commercial break. Yes, you're right, Denise. So stay on the phone, we'll come back to you, and we'll get to other calls as well, because we've got lots of people that are calling in today to New Life Live to hear from Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Alice Benton, people who are at low moments in their life, maybe struggling with things that have been going on for years, decades. We are here to help you at New Life. It's what we've been doing for decades. You can find out more about us at newlife.com. Lots of great resources there for you to check out. But we'll be back in just a moment on New Life Live.
My husband addicted to pornography for the majority of our marriage. I was very isolated and didn't really know which way to turn.
If you've been affected by betrayal, an emotional or physical affair, or pornography, the Restore Intensive will equip you with support and tools to help you through.
I went to the Restore Conference, which seems to be the missing puzzle piece where I was able to find my voice.
When two people want to do their part, we can be restored. But if they don't, we are not stuck because someone else made a decision. God lets us weigh in on how we want to walk out our lives.
The Restore Intensive is coming to Washington, D.C., November 13th through the 15th. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Enter the code NLL for a discount.
I'm navigating my world now.
I've had a great experience at Restore.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL.
Hello, it's Becky Brown. I am so excited to launch our 99 for the One partner initiative. Every day we hear from people all over the world who are looking for hope. They've been lost in a relationship struggle, addiction, anxiety, depression, all kinds of ways. And it reminds us of the story in Luke 15, where the shepherd that leaves the 99 to go rescue the one. And, you know, we've seen God work in the lives of so many people over the years here at New Life, and we want to invite you to be part of what God is doing. 99 for the One is our partner program that you can give to the ministry on a monthly basis to make sure that we continue to reach out to the lost.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or newlife.com/9941.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, Denise, there's that music again. You know what it means this time, though, right? It means we're back.
Again.
We're back from the commercial break. Hello again. Yes, exactly. So what would you guys offer to Denise?
Well, Denise, I'm so sorry for the pain that estrangement causes. I mean, I've never heard once a family tell me about estrangement and then say, and it's a really good thing. I mean, there's times when we need a distance, you know, for one reason or another. I'm going to give you some thoughts that kind of go against the grain of some things. What we a lot of times in estrangement, especially when we don't totally know, your daughter said, you know, I'm going to take a break here and one day I'll get back to you, and then she's not communicating well, is I think parents can take the lead by not saying, here's why you're wrong and here's – and I don't know that you're doing this, but, you know, you're wrong and I'm right and it's all these things and all that. I think you simply one day say, you know what, I would love to meet with you and I don't even want to – I'm not here in any kind of judgment. I'd like to hear how I can be a better mom to you in this next generation. Now, again, there's times when you can have a conversation. It's not the first conversation. And she may not do anything. And you say, if you don't mind, I'd like to connect back with you just to see if we could have that coffee in 6 months. So you're going to go with her lead. And in estrangement with adult children, we always say that if you go with their lead, they will come back. Here's the good news. The good news is you have this gap, which is horrible. But the good news is they eventually will probably take that on, especially if you're showing love and you're not preaching at them and you're not telling them how wrong they are. And so I think you slowly but surely tiptoe back into the relationship. You might have 100 things you want to say, and I'm saying say none of them. I'm saying just listen to her.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I do listen to you guys and do various things. Mm-hmm. One thing said to, like, reach out and say, how about just for an hour? I won't say anything. Uh-huh. I'll just write a book. You tell me how things were, and I'll just review them and blah, blah, blah. You know,
and bite your
like
tongue
that.
The entire time because you want to say something? But
right.
Yeah, sure.
Right, right. And just no response, no response.
Right, right, right.
Her husband that she's married to, he's a bit of a introvert also, and she used to tell me how bad it was with him and his dad. Well, now his dad is retired, mm-hmm. and he's connected with them because of the grandkids, basically, is what she told me. So when she cut it off with me, I said, oh, and is he doing that with his dad, too? And I was basically told that's none of my business.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So, Denise, if you've made multiple attempts and she's not responding, then she may be taking your attempts as disrespect of the space she said she needed. And so you may want to wait for a while and get deeper into your own individual work to have gone through the suicide of a brother and then the difficulty of having a young child. I can only imagine. And so doing your own work and preparing for that humble listening that I believe you will get the chance to do eventually, but you may have to hold off on contacting her for the time being.
Well, she had her third child 6 months ago.
Oh, wow.
She sent me a picture.
Yeah.
Okay. I did ask about dropping things off for the kid, and I dropped them off, didn't see anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who my sister made the blanket for.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I can see between her and I, but my family's always been good with her. And I've always, I fought for her, when she struggled in school, education program, the principal said, let her fail. I went to the superintendent of public instruction.
Denise, you've advocated for your daughter. You've fought for her, and you continue to try to serve her. So it doesn't really make sense that she calls you a bad mom and needs so much space from you. I'm going to give you a tactic that has worked with other clients that I have provided therapy for. After I get into individual therapy with someone like you, Denise, after a while, I call the adult child and I ask if they'll give me a feedback session, and they give me information that I then bring to the parent, and we work on that information together. So even though she won't take your call, she may take your therapist's call and be willing to provide you with information. And I'm going to leave you with one last challenge. I think you want to explain why you might have struggled as a mom, and certainly the loss of your brother. And you want to show her the good things you did to help her remember the good mom you were. And you have good reasons for that. But that can come across as defensiveness, yes, and as minimizing the difficulty she did go through with you as a mom. So practice telling that to other people, mm-hmm, but hold it back when you get the chance to talk with your daughter.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's so hard and it's so complicated. Because she sent you a photo of the child, that's huge.
It is.
It's much bigger, because what I hear a lot of times is, you know, I didn't even know they had another baby. And so that's a good thing. She's tiptoeing back, and it's not like what you want, and it's not like what the family wants. I want to give you a suggestion of a book. It's one of my favorite books on estrangement. It's called Reconnecting with Your Estranged Adult Child. It's by Tina Gilbertson. It does not come from a faith background, but it's so good on doing what Alice said to kind of do, the way we kind of do this. I'd pick that book up. It might really, really help you.
Denise, thanks for calling in today to New Life Live, and we've got more time. So we've got more calls, and that's good. So we'll get to as many of you as we can. All of you, if we can. I think we can. Mm-hmm. So stay on the phone if you're on hold right now, and we're going to do that. That's our goal, to get through all the calls that are on the board. So hang on. We'll be with you in just a moment. And by the way, if you can't call into the show when we are here in the studio, you can leave us a voicemail or send us an email. And the directions on that are on our website, newlife.com/radio. That shows you the email address and the phone number to call.
I was sort of vaguely familiar that the 12 steps had some origination in the Bible. I found Life Recovery. And one of the things I liked so much was that it had such a broad appeal. It wasn't limited to just alcohol or drugs, that it was addressing a wide range of problems.
At New Life, we believe everyone can benefit from a life recovery experience. There are life recovery groups all over the country. They take place online, in conference calls, and in person. And if there isn't one in your area, we can help you start one. We have startup materials, leaders' guides, CDs, Bibles, and more, all with discounts available for groups. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Terry Ward. The 12 Steps have long been a great help to people in recovery because much of the 12 Steps' power comes from the fact that they capture principles clearly revealed in the Bible.
The 12 Steps is really a pattern for all of us as Christians.
You can also find out more at liferecoverygroups.com.
Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live. Or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, if fear or anxiety have been quietly running your thoughts or stealing your peace, we want you to know there's a way forward. On April 14th, Becky Brown, the president of New Life Ministries and one of our co-hosts here on New Life Live, is leading a webinar on Zoom called Freedom from Fear and Anxiety. Now, this isn't about pretending fear doesn't exist. It's about learning how to face it with biblical truth and practical tools that actually help. If worry feels constant or your mind won't slow down, this could be an important next step. The webinar is live, online, and just $24.99. Hey, that rhymed. And so did that. You can get all the details and register now at newlife.com or just text the word webinar to 28950 and we'll text you back the information you need and include a tip sheet. Phone calls. Yes, that's what we do here. Sarah in Sacramento listening on the New Life app. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
How can we help you today?
Well, you answered part of the question, but my question is about anxiety. I have ADHD and on-the-job performance anxiety, and so my past work history is very choppy, and I'm 60 and a new nurse, and I was fired from my first job. It was very hard. The training part, I kept telling them I can't learn this way, and I didn't tell them I had ADHD, which I probably should have, but it's just been affecting me. It took me a long time to get through nursing school, not academically, but because I had anxiety on the clinical floor. There was no drastic mistakes made and no patients in danger, but when my professors would come around, I'd just get anxiety, couldn't think, I couldn't verbalize stuff, and so I was kicked out of nursing school. But through God's mercy, he got me back in at another school, and I did become a nurse, but I'm still having problems, like maintaining a job and all that stuff.
Okay. Alice, what would you say to Sarah?
You are a warrior. Mm-hmm. You just don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so proud of you that you found another school. You made it happen, and now you're working. You just don't let your anxiety keep you down. But I hear it keeps trying to knock you down. I wonder if there is some symptoms, if there are some symptoms of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, from getting fired from that first job. So to complicate things, in addition to ADHD and anxiety, I think that was a very disturbing event in your life, along with getting kicked out of school. And I would encourage you to consider whether or not you've done enough grieving and processing of those two things. And then in addition, I would guess you've had harsh authority figures, probably going back a long way in your life, maybe even one of your parents. And I think that fear might have grown in you from a pretty young age. So it's not just learning some coping skills that you'll learn in our webinar, if we can get you there. Learning some coping skills, making sure your medication is up to date and you're on the best right medication for you, but also looking at what history has helped to keep you so anxious that you're going to get in trouble from someone or they'll be mad at you.
Hmm. Do you have any thoughts?
Alice said medication. Are you on, Sarah, are you on medication for your ADHD and anxiety? A lot of times they'll put that together.
I've tried medication for ADHD, which worked awesomely, but I can't take any of it. I've tried so many because it triggers migraines in me.
That's rough.
I haven't done any of that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
anxiety,
hard.
Anxiety, I'm not on any right now because I don't feel like I'm needed. I don't have a job.
Right.
But it doesn't, it only works so much. I feel like I need so much more. I need a breakthrough of some sort.
Yeah.
I think that's always hard. You know, I appreciate that because I don't think people should just jump to medication, and I think you try everything, but you know there is I mean, you know, God I think is a part of medication, and I think it's important that you know, you just don't throw that out. I do realize that, you know, there's a lot of people who have ADHD who also blend an anxiety medication. It helps them with their ADHD and their anxiety. Alice?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Definitely.
And I think that's a real popular way that they're doing it these days. Within your job situation, you know, you, one of the things about nursing is it's such a caregiving and such a wonderful thing. But there's different types of nursing. And what you may want to find is a job in nursing that doesn't have, you know, the huge anxiety thing. And I realize, you know, you can't always just say, well, great, I want to do this. But, you know, there are positions where it may not be as intense or as stress-filled. And, you know, to be honest, you may still get all of your love for, you know, caring for others and for the medical world and all that you've worked so hard in. As she said, you're a courageous person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, you may want to look in the field. What would make a list of the types of jobs that you would want? Because you could thrive in that. I mean, there's people who have ADHD and with a bit of anxiety who are great in the medical field. I mean, I know people who are in it. In counseling, and they're great at it. They can understand. They can identify. So, you know, there's things you can do. But you don't want to be in a totally stress-filled type of a situation because of, you know, what you're doing. At the same time, make sure you get the work done. Don't stop. Get the counseling you need. Get the help you need. Be in a group. Call New Life. Get their stuff. Go, you know, for $24, go to this webinar that's coming up. You know, learn. And you can be – I think you can take – all that you have, all the good you have, and really make a difference in people's lives. That's why you're a nurse.
I was sad for you when you said, well, I'm not doing any of it now because I don't have a job. Oh, don't wait until you're in your next job search or in the next job actively. Mm-hmm. Get stability now, even if you're feeling okay. And there are lots of good supplements for anxiety like L-theanine and ashwagandha. I take those for my anxiety along with Zoloft, an antidepressant. And if I can do that, I can stay calmer and I love better and I perform better when I'm less anxious. So please start taking care of yourself now.
Yeah. And Sarah, we're just going to send you a registration for that webinar that's coming up on April 14th. It's called Freedom from Fear and Anxiety. So stay on the phone. We'll send that to you. Everyone else who wants to sign up, just text the word webinar to 28950. We'll send you a registration link and we'll also send you a a tip sheet on anxiety. So, Sarah, stay on the phone. Yvette in Fontana, KKLA listener, welcome to New Life Live.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, how can we help you? What's going on?
So I have, I wanted to get your opinion and scriptures or a way to, I have a 22-year-old cousin who I've had, I've taken care of since 10. I want to know how much should I intervene, support, help. She made a decision a couple of years ago to leave the home that she lived in with me, and now she's living with like a boyfriend, and she's pregnant. And so I want to do the godly thing, and it's not like she's knocking down my door to ask for help, but I have been very loving toward her and positive concerning everything, but at the same time, you know, just sending her scriptures and things like that about what God has said.
Yeah.
So how much should a parent help?
Okay. Dr. Jim, what's
up? I think, want to help her.
Yeah. And for one thing, thank you for, I mean, the gift you gave her at a young age is pretty amazing. You're not the biological parent, but she probably looks to you, you know, with that kind of authority too. And you're doing it. You're showing love. You're showing her positivity. And I think sending scriptures as long as she's okay with that. You know, there are sometimes parents or, you know, loved ones like yourself who do that, and they're like, quit sending me scriptures. And then I actually, as much as I love God and I love scripture, I kind of go, well, you got to back off of that. But if she's okay with that, fantastic. You know, the next move would be, you know, for you to, on a somewhat regular basis, hang out with her. You know, she's moved away. She's with this boyfriend. But think of the turmoil she must be going on. Maybe you can be that steady person at Starbucks with her on, you know, Wednesdays after work or whatever it might be. And bring joy to her life, bring your love, and so that when these harsh issues happen, she will move to you in terms of, you know, safety, if you would, but also she'll move to the God that you love, and that can help her. People who are that young, they have stories, and they have a testimony, and they get bumps and bruises, and, you know, she does too. But the fact is that there's some... You know, we are here in California, too, and there's some wonderful churches, as you know, in the Fontana area. And you probably go to one of them. So, you know, invite her and help her find, you know, how important that part is, especially as she's raising a baby.
Yeah.
Yvette, I'd have you ask her, how do you want me to be in your life? And are there things I'm doing that rub you wrong? My son right now, he doesn't want any hugs or touching from me, but he wants me to play cards with him, and he wants me to play Nerf guns with him. So I'm making adjustments from the way I like to love him to the way he wants to be loved by me.
Good.
Not easy for me to do, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I don't think that's easy for anyone to, you know, adjust to in that way. But it can be done with help, right?
Do you have a Nerf gun in your purse is the question. We don't want to get shot
at
here
all
in the
times.
Studio.
I now carry it with me. So you better treat me nice, Jim.
Okay, we're going to. I don't want that Nerf gun.
She didn't say that to me, though, because she already told
him. I shot him already.
She did, yes. All right, this is New Life Live. We'll be back with more calls, so stand by.
What a New Life course is it's around a topic led by a professional, licensed counselor, coach, with a small group of 8 or 9 people on a weekly Zoom call. You're going to go through the information, but also connect as a group. Those group processes make all the difference in the world. And so we have created New Life courses so that you can experience that on a weekly basis. Every week you're meeting on Zoom with that therapist. You're going over the concepts as well as connecting as a group. It is so powerful and it's accessible. Wherever you are, you're going to be able to join us. So you can sign up right away. With 8 or 9 slots open, they're going to go quick. And so you want to call today and get registered.
Begin your transformation May 4th with a New Life course. Lose it for life, take your life back, or healing is a choice. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We live in a fallen world. Your support helps people get the help that they need, whether it's marriage or other relationships, mental health, addictions, spiritual battles, grief, or even a combination of things. You hear these struggles and others come up on the calls that we get here on New Life Live every day. Your gift to New Life helps assure that we can continue to meet people in their hardest places. You can give online at newlife.com by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE or by texting NLM, as in New Life Ministries, to 28950. And to make a difference on a monthly recurring basis, you can become a 99 for the One partner. You can learn more at newlife.com/99-for-1. But yeah, even one-time gifts are welcome, small gifts. It doesn't have to be a monthly gift, doesn't have to be a large gift, but we welcome anything that comes in. Your generosity truly changes lives. Thank you for whatever you can do. Brian Perez here with Drs. Alice Benton and Jim Burns, and let's talk to Esther, who watches us on YouTube in Los Angeles. Hey, Esther, welcome to New Life Live.
Hi, my New Life family. How are y'all doing today?
Doing well, thanks.
Nice to talk with you guys. I'm so happy to be on the call today. My question is super simple. So my husband and I'm 35 years old, female, and he's a 40-year-old male. And his name is Steven, and I'm Esther. And so I'm wondering if what is the biggest factor in bringing children into this world? Is it like you have to have a perfect family, you have to be Christian, you have to go to church? Because Psalm 127 verse 3-5 does state that children is a reward from the Lord, and blessed is the man whose quiver is full of these arrows. And that being said, I see celebrities doing witchcraft having babies. And I don't have no kids yet, but I do believe that the Bible is true, that whether the babies are from witchcraft or not, it does say, biblically speaking, it does say that children are an inheritance from the Lord. So I want to believe and pray for that in my own life and my husband's life for us, because I feel like that's what I feel in the spirit.
Esther, that's one of the great mysteries to me, and it'll be one of the questions I want to ask God right away. Why did you give kids to the people you gave children to? I work with couples that want kids, can't have them, and they look at parents around them who don't even seem to care if they have kids, and yet they keep having more. And so it's really confusing how God assigns which children to which family. Do you want children, or are you nervous about it? Do you feel unprepared for it?
Well, I definitely want children, whether or not it's from the foster care system or my own womb, but I'm believing for children from my womb, especially in this time of my life. But I'm always willing to work with God's timing, as I am a firm believer in Jesus Christ. So, yes, the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. And do you and your husband have hesitations about it because of maybe difficulties you went through in your family of origin, or worries about bringing kids into such a messy world right now?
No, I don't. I don't think so. Not that's not the reason. I do believe, I firmly believe in the biblical truths and who God is in our life, but the only reason I'm saying something about it is because we got married last year. So a lot of people, I hear about newlywed babies, like honeymoon babies and all that, and I'm like, oh. So it's like, yeah, the spirit of comparison wants to come in and creep in and be like, oh, I should come, you know, like, you know, and then the spirit of jealousy or whatever. But I rebuke those thoughts in the name of Jesus, and I just keep going and just stay on the race and the course that the Lord has given to us, me and my husband. Yeah.
So it's not hesitation to have children. It's actually the sadness of not having children yet. That's more burdensome for you.
Exactly. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And how can we help you with that? Help me understand your question better.
Well, my question is, like, should I, well, this is super simple, but, like, is my faith lacking if I use fertility treatments like IVF and stuff like that? Like, would you say, like, okay, you can go ahead and do it? Because I do have family members. My uncle did use IVF, and he has twins that are absolutely beautiful. So, like, and that they're, like, twins. So I'm like, oh, my God, like, that could be also my story as well. But it is through IVF, and but you got to remember that IVF is like six figs, you know? So
very expensive.
Yes. Cover it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of things. I think, you know, like you said, children are a gift from God, but I think you and your husband would be a gift to a child. You have a firm foundation. You have a firm faith. You are excited about this child. This child is going to be raised in a really great home. You sound really cool. I want a cool mom like you. So I think that's what your child is going to. You know, I think your gift to your child. How great is that? You've only been married a year. Are you struggling with infertility? Have you been diagnosed with infertility? Because you're going to IVF when, in fact, you know, there's many steps before that. Or is that just a concern because of what's gone on in your family history?
Yes, exactly. Just, you know what, the only reason I did say that is because my uncle, it came through for him. IVF came through for him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, maybe, who knows if it's on my dad's side or my mom's
side.
Sure. But audio, well, it might not be on my dad's
side. I mean, one way to know that. At this point, nobody's going to diagnose you for this young, unless there's another story, as infertile. And so what you want to do is, you know, go to your OBGYN, get checked, and see if that's a process that you may go to. But most of them would say probably hold on, wait, and work through other things. People don't jump typically to IVF. They jump to other types of things going on. And that's what I would do. I wouldn't get too far out there. You know, and I call this kind of personally tailored discipleship, which means I think there are people who, you know, God definitely gives them a direction when it comes to infertility. Mm-hmm. And then God also says to somebody else, well, maybe not this way for you. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't spend too much time thinking about infertility. Yeah, it's in the back of your head because of what's gone on with your family. But I would enjoy your first year of marriage and make sure that you're getting the help you need with an OBGYN who can really check you out and do all that kind of stuff. Same with your husband as well. But I wouldn't say you're infertile right now, right?
I wouldn't jump to that either yet.
Right.
I would also have you, Esther and Stephen, pray about where God might be leading you, because having a foster child is on your heart, that's such generosity. There's so much need for that. And so considering your different options, talking about it with your husband, and you might consider some couples therapy sessions to talk this through, and or having your pastor give his opinion into your spiritual concerns about is IVF okay, spiritually speaking.
Right.
And I don't personally have any qualms with IVF from a spiritual standpoint. My hesitation can be when embryos are frozen and left. I think that is a baby who's already been conceived, and I think we have to take great care with that. But I think IVF itself, I don't have spiritual hesitations about it.
Esther, thanks for your phone call today on New Life Live. And we are about 5 weeks away from the start of our New Life courses. There's three of them: Lose It for Life, Healing as a Choice, and Take Your Life Back. These are 12-week, counselor-led online courses that meet 1 hour a week on Zoom. They're all designed to help you break free from unhealthy patterns and move toward emotional and spiritual wholeness. Where can you learn about all these courses? Of course, at newlife.com. Or you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God bless you guys. Thanks for being with us today. We're going to do it again tomorrow. We hope you can join us then. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for praying for us and for our listeners who call in, and some of them just in just horrible situations. Just keep them in your prayers, because they will really appreciate it. God bless you guys.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or online at newlife.com. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
The preceding program was pre-recorded.